Hello, everyone. Sorry? No, I think people are just using the arrow keys. Sorry. Less high tech. Hello, everyone. So our next speaker is Bryce Kenter, introducing Taming the Beast, Managing High Growth Postgres Databases at CircleCI.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Bryce Kenter, and welcome to my talk on Taming the Beast, the CircleCI's journey to managing high-growth Postgres databases. First, who am I? So I'm a staff engineer at CircleCI, where I've been working for the last 3 years. I have over 8 years of engineering experience spanning the full stack, back-end, front-end. At CircleCI, I've been focusing on back-end architecture and reliability. Over a period of hypergrowth, reliability became a big problem at CircleCI, to the point where our CTO started posting a monthly blog post to keep our customers updated about the improvements. So a key part of those improvements was dealing with large databases, which I'll be talking about today. I'm very enthusiastic about the developer experience and making that better, which is why I love my work at CircleCI. And when I'm not in front of a computer, you can find me on the driving range, because in Canada it's very cold, and occasionally traveling the world with my wife. All right, so let's get started. Just to give you a little bit of background about CircleCI, it's a global CI/CD platform with a wide range of customers, a bunch of open source projects built on CircleCI, such as React Native, Angular. Anytime you see a .CircleCI folder in a repo, that typically is building on CircleCI. And on the right screenshot, that's an example of a React Native workflow, which is currently just running some tests. And so this should be familiar to any of you that are maintaining any CI/CD pipelines. So our platform runs about 4 million of these workflows per week and over 20 million jobs per week. Each workflow that runs on our platform generates net new data to be stored. So such as the workflow itself, the dependencies between the workflow graph, the job states, and like test outputs and things like that. So to handle all of this traffic, our infrastructure runs over 150 services and 70 plus Postgres databases. However, some of these databases were growing very rapidly. The particularly one that supports the platform's engine. The growth of such databases was directly correlated with the number of workflows and jobs that are created per second. So an example high growth database that my team was responsible for had grown to 5 terabytes in size and growing by 500 gigabytes per quarter. The write amplification on that database was a recurring cause for incidents. The nail in the coffin, though, was when we tried to upgrade that database to from an end-of-life 9.5 Postgres RDS instance to a 12.5 instance. This took months to complete and incurred significant downtime because of incidents. The first attempt at migrating the RDS instance took a couple of hours and resulted in poorer query performance. This is because the large tables required lengthy vacuum operations post-upgrades, which led to massively degraded performance. We considered using AWS Database Migration Service, DMS, but it would take too long to complete given the database size, because DMS uses logical replication which is concerned with the number of rows and the amount of bytes that you're transferring. We were finally able to do the version upgrade using a form of homebrewed logical replication, taking advantage of application level knowledge of the database. but this required significant engineering effort with engineers working weekends. So that wasn't great. At the end of all this, it was clear to the business that operating these large databases is very risky and could cause a company-ending event. So we needed to tame this growth. So now I'll take you on the journey that we took to taming this beast. So first, I'll talk about the storage reduction. So the immediate savings that we gained by deleting some of the low-hanging fruits. Next, I'll talk about the growth restrictions that we put in place to make sure that the data growth remained at manageable levels. And lastly, I'll talk about some of the optimizations that we made to ensure long-term success. So the first thing we did to reduce the storage was to drop unused columns, tables, and indexes. Indexes in particular can grow large in size over time, so dropping them was a quick win. We leveraged a tool called PG Analyze to identify indexes with no scans, so that means they were not used, and then dropping the indexes not only benefits the storage size, but it also reduces write amplification, so the writes to the database are actually faster. Next, we switched a bunch of B-tree indexes to use Brin indexes instead. So Brin indexes are designed for handling very large tables where in which certain columns have a natural correlation with where they're physically on the table. So for example, if you have an orders table with a created at column, earlier records on the table will physically show up earlier in the physical location. So those Brin indexes are optimized for that kind of data. So from the screenshot, you can see we had a bunch of created at indexes across multiple tables. But the thing to note is the size of those indexes. That took over 400 gigabytes of storage in a single database. So dropping them, or that were those the ones that were unused, or switching to Brin, we were able to save space immediately. The next step we did was to reduce the storage further, was to offload any static blob data to S3. So S3 is much cheaper, and you can define object life cycles to automatically delete the data. But migrating to S3 came with some drawbacks, such as additional latency, because so we had to put a Redis cache in front of it. And the other drawback was that it added more dependencies to our service, and the queries were no longer transactional. So we had to add code to stitch together the response from Postgres and S3. So that added a bit of complexity. So at this point, we freed up some storage size and to give us some runway, but we haven't addressed the growth. So let's talk about that next. So the first thing we did to slow down the growth of our databases was to put in place data retention policies. Our product management team collaborated with other parts of the business to identify data retention periods. So the data retention period differs based on the customer plan. So for example, a free customer will get 3 months of data, and higher plan customers will get up to 2 years. We communicated these policies to all of our customers ahead of time. We gave them a quarter, so 3 months of leeway before actually enforcing any restrictions. So the next step after that was to implement data access restriction, but at the API layer before actually deleting any data. So this meant customers no longer have access to data beyond their retention period, which enabled us to go to step three, which is safely delete the data because now customers don't have access to it anymore using background jobs. I should point that at this point, we still have growth, but mainly due to new customers or existing customers that are building more on the platform. But the growth is contained because we don't retain data older than 2 years. But we ran into some issues. So the first issue that we ran into was as we're deleting data from the primary database, it caused degraded performance on the replicas as the deletions are getting replicated. So we experienced like a spike in IOPS and CPU usage, and so we needed to upsize the replicas. Another issue that we faced was index bloat. So frequent background deletions without a periodic maintenance of the indexes reduces the efficiency of those indexes over time. So a solution for regularly reindexing the database was necessary to make deletion sustainable. This is something that we're still figuring out. We haven't have found a proper solution yet. But lastly, Postgres databases do not automatically reclaim space when a record is deleted. This is something that we found out. So there is a built-in vacuum operation to reclaim space, but this process only frees up space back to the table for reuse. So once disk is allocated for a table, it may never be released until that table is dropped. The vacuum operation has a full option, which builds a new table and swaps the old table for the new, but it requires an exclusive lock. So this was not a viable solution for us because, again, it requires downtime. We're able to use pgrepack, which is an open source PostgreSQL extension that allows us to reclaim space on the drop columns with minimal locking of the table. So that was great. And then the last step on our journey was to establish a long-term strategy. We needed a data archival process that could be applied to all of our high-growth databases. So we established a data reliability team with the mandate to own a single historical data store. The data store would support functional requirements such as high availability, be horizontally scalable, support multiple query patterns, which is needed by the API or the UI to filter data. But this historical database is only used to serve customer data only, nothing else. No ETL, nothing like that. And then each service team would implement a data archival process, which is similar to the diagram at the top. The service sends requests to the historical service to archive data. What data is archivable and when? It depends on that particular service domain. There's a sweeper job that makes sure that any missed archivable data is archived, and then there's a deletion job that is continuously deleting archived data. Also, as product teams are building new features that require net new tables to be added or to be created, we aim to partition them from the beginning. We use pgpartition, an open source partition manager, to create time-based partitions. pgpartition enables us to configure retention periods and will automatically delete any old partition. So as soon as a partition falls out of the retention period, so in our case 24 months, it is automatically deleted by pgpartition, so we don't have to worry about it. And finally, so now that I've taken you on the full journey from reducing our storage size to establishing long-term data archival processes, I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge some of the key learnings, because an initiative of this magnitude was spending almost 2 years and was non-trivial for us. So the first learning is to implement a brief retention policy as early as possible. Ideally, one that allows you to serve more data at your discretion, because this means you don't have to implement the code to delete the data until you really need to. That would have saved us hours of engineering effort and downtime dealing with massive databases. The second learning, rehearse any major database maintenance. Things like major version upgrades, space reclamation, reindexing, anything like that. Make a copy of your production database, validate your changes there, compare query performance against the production database before actually running that maintenance in production. And finally, write down your learnings. This creates a knowledge base for everyone to learn from and helps other teams move faster. The extensive documentation that my team put together throughout the last 2 years is what helped me a lot to come up with this presentation. And that is it for me. So thank you for listening. I hope this was helpful to you.